Welcome to the Black Heels and Tractor Wheels podcast, where we are sharing stories from a range of women from around New Zealand.
For nearly a century, Rural Women New Zealand has been dedicated to strengthening and supporting women and children to become empowered members of their communities.
We hope that by hearing these stories from inspiring women all around the country, you'll feel inspired yourself.
We're your hosts, Emma Higgins and Claire Williamson, and would love for you to join and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our rural stories.
Today we're speaking with Fiona Gower, immediate past president of Rural Women New Zealand and community champion.
We talk with Fiona about the importance of setting your own path, the power of communities and connection, and the awesome opportunity she's had through Rural Women New Zealand.
Today's shout out goes to the wonderful Rural Support Trust, who are the fence at the top of the cliff rather than the ambulance at the bottom.
Rural Support Trusts have local, rural people who know from experience that pressures can mount up.
Their networks and training can help with all kinds of situations and help you get through your current challenges.
Fiona, when we think about Rural Women, you are at the heart of our organisation. You've been part of our organisation for such a long time. And so we really want to unpack a little bit of your journey. And we would like to just, I guess, start right back at the start, rewind just a couple of years to the beginning, and we'd love to know a little bit about where you started on your rural journey, because we'd like to know, have you always been bleeding rural?
Oh, absolutely. I was born and bred in a sheep farm just north of Marton, and I was fifth generation onto the farm, which is pretty cool. And so always been rural. My dad had a spinal graft when I was about five. So we actually leased our farm out for a long time. So we weren't actually farming, but we got to actually still hang out on the farm and do all the fun stuff that we could have. So yeah, very much in my veins. And Rural Women New Zealand is also very much in my brain, my veins, because my mother used to take us as babies. Both my grandmothers were founding members of their branches way back in the start. So yeah, since I was a baby, I used to get dragged along to all sorts of things, whether it be meetings or fundraisers and good old flower shows and everything. So yeah, it's very much, and we used to fight, my brother and I used to fight over the ACWW pennies for friendship pig, apparently, when we were quite young. So yes, it's always been there. Rural's always been my heart. And grew up, as I say, on the farm, and after school I actually went more into the rural service industry rather than farming, because there wasn't really a pathway for me in that. So I sort of went down rural service, and I'm a wool classer by trade, spent a lot of time in the sheds and in the wool stores, and then moved into rural retail and through there. And most of my time, as much as I can, was actually living in the rural and in the country, because don't cope with town very well.
That's a theme that we've had from lots of people that we've interviewed, so you're not alone there. No. But I want to just unpack a little bit of something in your early journey that you just mentioned, because you talked about your dad having spinal surgery. And I just wondered, how did that come about, and how did that really impact on those formative years?
Yeah, so the farm we were on, a dad did damage to his back, and we think it was because in those days there were no decent dentures for the ewes. So he spent a lot of time bending over, dagging ewes and doing things like that, and that's what they believed damaged his back, was just all that repetitive hard work that they had to do in those days. And so when he was four, we leased the farm out. And when I was five, he went in for the surgery. So he was 3 months in hospital. In those days, it wasn't just in and out. So it was 6 weeks flat on his back, and then the next week, 6 weeks getting him back for rehab. So it was 3 months while he wasn't home. And I just started school. My brother was seven. Grandfather died at the same time. An awful lot going on in our world. My report when I was five said, Fiona would rather hang around with her brother than children of her own age. And I think it's because I needed that security blanket. But I had fond memories of Mum, Richard and I, the cold winter that we had, all snuggled up in bed together, drinking Milo, playing Ludo and reading Nicky and We, which is an amazing book that we had. So we were really fortunate that Mum was around, but she was incredibly stressed, and we were getting farmed out to family and neighbours while she was caring for Dad, and with Granddad dying and going through all that. So it was really stressful, and it was pretty hard for that first little while for me. But yeah, I think that's where some of the insecurities possibly started when I was at school.
Yeah, that's really interesting just to sort of delve into some of those formative years. But I also would like to pick up on something else you said, which was there wasn't really a pathway for me into farming. And I think that's something that hasn't changed much in the last sort of 20 or 30 years, as obviously sheep and beef farming has gotten a little bit more challenging. The land, the barrier into getting involved is quite tough in some spaces, but then some people do manage to find a pathway. And I know that you'd be well placed to sort of share some thoughts around that, I think, particularly for women, because I know you've been involved with supporting some of those younger women in the Fairlight Foundation. And in your role with Rural Women. So what are your thoughts on providing pathways into farming these days, particularly in that sheep and beef space? Because we know that there is a really good, pathway in dairy because it's quite well known, but perhaps less so in sheep and beef.
I think it is. And it was probably that really tough time. There's like, because there was only my brother and I, and it was always thought that he was going to go farming. And as much as I love being on the farm and helping out when we could, or, you know, I was often at the neighbours helping out doing things. It was never really something that was discussed for me to do, which was quite interesting. And going to a girls' boarding school, you don't get a lot of options or career advice around farming and agriculture, which I discovered, which is a bit of a shame. And that is quite a few years ago, of course. It's probably changed now. But there wasn't that emphasis on it, so I had to look for other options to go. And I believe women now, you know, there's a lot more opportunities for a young woman. And I attended the Growing Future Farmers in the King Country recently to see what was going on there. And it's so good to see these women. Young woman involved in the Growing Future Farmers program and seeing them just thrive and knowing that they could do it. Because I think with women, we have to be technically smarter. We have to work smarter, not harder. And I see that a lot in the shearing industry and in the farming industry. We're not there to be, you know, the brute strength ones. We do other things. But I think women have got a great place because we understand nurturing and land and so much better, and we've got a wider spatial outlook on things to some of the men do. So, yeah, there's a huge opportunity for that. And the Fairlight Foundation, what they're doing, what Laura and the Fairlight Foundation doing for a woman in that sector is fabulous. And I often go to things with young farmers, and it's good to see these amazing women coming through in all sorts of sectors and being championed. So it's getting better, but I still think there's work to go. I mean, when I was at university, I went to apply for a job on farm because a friend of mine who was from the middle of Auckland said he couldn't take it. And I rang the farmer and he said, oh, no, you can't do it. You're a girl. You know, they'll be digging and drenching and dipping and fencing. I'm going, yes, I can do that. He says, no, I was a girl. No, not a chance. So that was, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And it's changed a lot since then, thank goodness. And there are opportunities. But yeah, I say follow your dream. If you want to be farming, follow your dream.
Great advice. It's awesome. It's awesome. So you, in that answer that you just gave, you just talked about all these amazing opportunities you've had recently to get about and interact with some fabulous people in different parts of the country. And so I'm just wondering, can you take us through your journey with Rural Woman? Because you are our immediate past president, and I think it could be quite interesting just to unpack your journey within Rural Woman and some of the opportunities that you've had within the organisation.
Joined Rural Woman, I was a junior member, of course, when I was at school with my mother, when I was at home, and then we lived for a long time, did all sorts of other things, went through Young Farmers, Toastmasters, all other groups, and then when I had my daughter, I couldn't work anymore because we lived way up the back of Pew Pew and there was no daycare for children. There was not the opportunities for me. So I decided the best thing I could do is actually give up my job. Actually, financially, it was a little bit better too. So because we're working for families and everything like that. So it wasn't the stress. And I needed something to use my brain because I didn't want to be stuck at home on the farm with just a baby and not do anything. So I thought, oh, you know, enjoyed the things I used to do with mum. So I rejoined Rural Women New Zealand. And the Te Kawiri branch, which was the Oparau branch, Open Brewery Branch. They're a lovely group of ladies. But when you've got a toddler and you're in houses and there's crystal and china and all sorts of things around, it gets a little bit stressful. So I got my neighbours into starting up the local branch at Waitangaroo again. So that is 17 years ago that we got that group back up and running again. And I rejoined, and my journey from there is, I guess, I started going to a few of the provincial meetings. And the first year, just after my son was born, I competed in the speech competition at the National Conference in Rotorua and won it. And I guess from there, I got a little bit noticed and got the opportunities. And I must admit, the Waipa King Country Provincial were just so supportive, and our branches as well, to help me grow and give me the opportunities to take on roles and learn more about it. So that was fabulous. So that's really where my journey began. From there, we actually shifted up to where we are now at Port Waikato. And again, I didn't know a soul. And I joined the Franklin group here because I just needed an outing, because the children weren't involved in preschool at that stage. And they were fabulous. They're really supportive. So lots of opportunities there. And from there became the National Councillor for Top of the North, which is from Pukekohe North. And after that, yes, I got the opportunity to stand for National President. And so they say the rest is history.
When you're reflecting on your time as being president, what were some of the most standout moments for you?
Oh, gosh. I think one of the huge things that we did was Penny Mudford and I, she was the board chair, and I went to New York to the United Nations for the Commission for the Status of Woman. Penny was on the team that was doing the on the delegation, so doing all the talking about what's going into the documents. I was the opportunity to present on a panel in the inside the UN. So that was a side, what they call a side event within the UN. So I to all these women from around the world. So 11,000 women from around the world goes to CSW every year, apart from COVID years. So it was huge, and to be able to represent Rural Women New Zealand there was, oh yeah, that was amazing. That was a real highlight. And I think just going around the country and meeting so many people, like the opportunities to go to events, whether they're grassroots ones. You know, I got to go to Great Barrier Island for their birthday 1 year, and I got to go to all sorts of things. And then getting to meet some high flyers, I think, is the other thing. Getting to meet some real movers and shakers in the industry, and you know, within the whole of New Zealand. So that was a highlight. But I think, yeah, New York was one of the best ones. And I guess what I really loved is one of the last things we did was the Mighty Morning T-shirt, to say thank you to everybody that worked so hard to keep us safe and keep us fed and keep us looked after during COVID. And really loved being part of that whole Mighty Morning T-shirt around the country. So yeah, there were some big highlights, I think.
Gosh, some massive highlights. I love it. And I think also, you know, we were very unsurprised when you received the Queen's Birthday honour and the Order of Merit, to be honest. But I would like to actually pick up on something in that space, because obviously you've actually been involved in a few governance roles over the years. Mm-hmm. And I know at many different levels in many different organisations. And I think a lot of our listeners will be looking ahead and potentially planning for potentially a career in governance or community committees. What type of advice would you give to someone who might be maybe in their 20s and they might like to look at pursuing some leadership opportunities? What sort of skills do you need, and what should you be looking at doing at that time of your career?
Something comes up, just don't grab it. Don't just grab it and go, I want to do that. Actually look at it first and go, is this a good fit for me? Is it something I'm interested in? Is it something I'm not too bad at? And is it something I can really learn from as well? Is it something that really spins my wheels? And I think that's the first question, because often people get offered positions or something like that and they grab them because they think, oh, this is amazing. But it may not be the best fit for them and they may not enjoy it as much as they could. So I think that's the first thing, is actually sit back first and make sure that that's a role that's right for you, because sometimes it can be quite a long time stuck in there if it's not. The next thing I would say, if you're looking at leadership roles, governance roles, is get some training. There's some amazing organisations out there to get some training through. You know, there's the Agri Women's Development Trust, there's the Institute of Directors, there's Kellogg, there's so many opportunities to get some training before you step into that journey, so you know what you're doing when you get on a board or a committee. I mean, start off small too. Don't go straight into a huge big governance role. You know, we get the opportunities to go through school committees or preschool committees, Rural Women New Zealand committees, whatever it is. Get a little bit of that experience first before you get into the big governance role, so you get a bit of a handle on it. And there's advisory boards as well, which is a pseudo governance as well, and plenty of opportunities there, but make sure it's something that you really want to do.
Have you had lots of, or many, or if at all, mentors or champions that have really helped you, whether it's in the governance space or more broadly within your Rural Woman New Zealand journey, or even in your personal journey as well? Who would you, I guess, single out as being someone who may have given you that helping hand, and at what point was it that they helped you out? Can you just explain a little bit about that?
So probably my mother was probably one of the biggest inspirations for me, because getting into the community side of it, because she was so, so involved right from a very young age that I was around. You know, she was always in Rural Women New Zealand. She was, I think she collected for every charity up and down our road, and I used to go with her as well. She helped out at school on the PTA, so she was very community minded. And I think both my brother and I picked up that from her, and I can see the next generation that's coming through as well. And, you know, we're incredibly proud of what she did, and you know, hopefully she'd be pretty proud of what my brother and I and the kids are doing too, because we're following in those footsteps. Other inspirations I've had, there's been a few. I mean, I know one woman that I've really been a huge inspiration, and as Mavis Mullins, I think, because we've been involved in very similar industries, and watching her journey of where she's got to in the governance space is huge. So that's something that I really really enjoyed watching her and learning from her. So mentors, I guess I've been really fortunate. One of the ladies in Rural Women New Zealand, we all know her as Auntie Liz, Liz Morgan, who's our Waikato area chair. She was on the farm with us when we were living in Pew Pew, and she was always there and always supporting us. And you know that if there's something that's not quite right, she'll tell you, but in the nicest possible way. So she's been really, really supportive and a really mentor. And, you know, I think even the office staff know her as Auntie Liz, because she's just there, and she is the auntie that everybody should have. And it's been so neat having her around us for the last sort of 25 years, I guess, that I've got to know her. And she's been fantastic support right through. Lots of, I guess, unofficial mentors and people they go to. You know, Penny Mudford on the board was incredible. You know, if there's something I needed to know, or she would actually look at it in a different way to me, and she was always amazing just to say, now let's think about that. They're probably the big ones that I've really in the last little while that I've heard as well.
Yeah, it's funny how many of these names come up more often than once. Some of those women, for sure.
The one that I really, and I know she's been on your podcast, is it's a huge inspiration to me, is my cousin Shaz Dagg. She is so cool. You know, watching what she's been through over the years and seeing how positive she is after everything that's gone on, you're just going, wow, this lady is amazing. And, you know, I'm just so proud of what she's done. And I look at her and go, wow, I wish I could be that positive all the time like she is, and that inspiring. And she's out there inspiring all these young people with injuries or with disabilities to that they can be the best they can be too. So she's another one that's been just huge in my life.
Yeah, she is incredible. I really enjoyed my chat with her. Fiona, since you left your role as President of Rural Women New Zealand, as I understand it, you've picked up a role with the Rural Support Trust. And I think some of our listeners might actually really like to know a little bit more about what they do and what you do in your role. I think it would be really helpful, because it's supporting our rural communities from a mental health perspective and from doing any other support that's required. So could you talk a little bit about that role and what the Rural Support Trust does?
Yeah, sure. So like I finished my role with as National President in the November, and I just needed to take some time out for myself, because it had just, you know, it's been a really hard, long 4 years, you know, absolutely amazing, but I'd been away from home so much, and I just needed to be around home, which was which is great, because my son was quite unwell soon after that, and I needed to be home for him. So it's a blessing that it happened after I'd finished my role, because it would have been really, really tough trying to fit the two in. So I did take some time off just to get myself back grounded and see where I wanted to go, and just space. And of course, COVID was still happening and everything like that. So just taking time out was good. So yes, a role came up with the Rural Support Trust as their National Council Business Coordinator. So the Rural Support Trust, the Rural Support is made up of 14 individual trusts around the country. They're all their own trusts. They're not connected to each other officially. You know, they're their own identities, but we have the National Council that sits over them as an overarching body to help them get some work done and help them grow and things like that. So I was fortunate enough to apply for the job as the National Business Coordinator. It was actually the day before we went into lockdown in August, so not quite a year ago. I went to the interview, came out, saw that there were messages from friends going, have I heard? And then, of course, about 3 hours later, we went into lockdown. So I didn't get to, well, I started my job on the 1st of September. I didn't get to see the rest of the team until December, because of we were actually in the Auckland boundary and they were all everywhere else in the Waikato boundary. So yes, that was a challenge of its own. But yeah, the Rural Support Trust is very much out there, and they've got a whole lot of roles. You know, there's a one-on-one support they can give for people with needing financial help, or help if they're unwell, or mental well-being, you know, getting them some support like that. Anything like that. And often you'll see it often through the tough times when there's adverse events, you know, the floods, the fires, the snow, the wind, everything like that. We've been having the droughts. Rural Support Trust there are there to help people get through where they can and support them. And they put on a lot of functions and things to try and be the fence at the top of the cliff, not the ambulance at the bottom, to get people talking, get them out and help them just feel better about themselves. And they do a great job and right around the country. And yeah, if anybody ever needs help, they're a great place to start, because they will put you in they're not actually specialists, but they will get the help that people need. So they do a great job, and I'm really enjoying being with them, I guess because I did a lot of work with them in the Waikato before I took on the role, so I knew a fair bit about them and really love what they do.
Well said. They are an incredible organisation. Hey, you're talking to us from the mighty Waikato. What's the best thing about living in rural New Zealand?
Well, at the moment, I'm sitting in my car so I can get decent connectivity, which is interesting. I'm sitting in the car park at Port Waikato at the beach, at Sunset Beach, looking out at the hills and the water. Just fabulous spot to be. We live on a 3,500-hectare property where my partner's the fencer. So the best thing that we have is we have got this whole big playground that we have. We've got coast to go fishing, we've got rivers, we've got hunting, you name it. And it's just been amazing. And it's not cold compared to, I think I've moved further north into the warmer climes as I've gone through my life, and it's actually quite nice. But love the Waikato, and you know, I love the people that live here. Now, I talk about our rural women members in the Waikato, and we don't talk about ourselves as being Great Waikato. We talk about ourselves as being the Waikato Wonder Woman, because we just love getting out there and helping people and doing fun stuff. So that's what I really, really enjoy about is the people and the place. My favourite cafe is half an hour down the road from me, the Nikau Cafe in Caves. It's just a best cafe in the middle of nowhere just to go down and have coffee. So best of both worlds. I live on Tarsia for the first time in a long time. I have got a shop reasonably close. It's civilised, and you know, nothing's too far to travel. So yeah, really great place. Love it.
Oh, that's cool. I love that. Everyone has something different to contribute to that question. It's beautiful. Yeah. So I've got a big question for you, Fiona. The successful woman that you are, what are you hoping to achieve over the next 12 months? Because you have just got so many different things going on, and you wear a lot of hats across the community and in your roles. So what might the next 12 months look like for Fiona Gower?
I really don't know. I'm actually just enjoying what I'm doing at the moment. There's quite a few really cool things that I'm doing. I still really like enjoy working with the Greater Waikato Rural Women New Zealand. And that's part of what I'm doing, helping them drive forward and make the Waikato really sing. And we are doing a great job, and the committee is fabulous. So that's a big push for me to make sure that, you know, I'm helping them out as much as I can. For myself, I've actually, and for my sins, I've got myself involved in another organisation. So we've just joined the Pukekohe Car Club because my son's really into rallying and things. So I get to do a bit of fun stuff with around cars these days. Very involved in the local Surf Life Saving Club. Sunset Surf Life Saving Club is one of the top ones in the country, a very small club, but it punches above its weight. And we do a lot around IRB racing, and I'm involved in training new lifeguards and helping with the junior program. So really looking forward to getting back into that. So for us, Labour weekend to Easter, we live at the beach, you know, pretty tough life to be doing. And for myself, yeah, very much just keeping on those roles and just enjoying a bit of time. And I'm really hoping this year I can get down to the beach and do a little bit of white baiting. We've got our beach house down a little place called Marakolpa, and I'd really like to get more than 2 days this season down there trying to catch a few white baits. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to doing, hopefully, as well. Enjoying not traveling as much as I have been. It's really nice being home, and, you know, doing so much over Zoom and Teams, you know, there's not quite the pressure to get dressed up and go out. And yeah, so just I just want to enjoy being home for a bit longer.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Fiona, for your service to Rural Women New Zealand and to the broader community, whether it's those at the car track or on the beach and the lifeguard space as well. We can't wait to see where you head to next in the rural space.
I keep looking and go, you know, what you put into things, you know, you get more out of it. So the more you put in, the more you get out. And I think that's a really good thing to look at, is just go, what can I put into here? What do I want to get out of this? So it's very much around that. And yeah, as I say, the more you put in, the more you get out. And my greatest buzz is to watch some of these young people and grow. And I think that's this is my why, is why we do this, is because I love watching people grow and into their own skin and making a difference for themselves. And yeah, it's huge. And just helping them grow along that path is, I think that's been a really real bonus for me.
Yeah, well, it's a great way to have. So thank you so much. And look, I'm sure the white bait will be running scared. So good luck to you down there.
Rural Women New Zealand is a community of like-minded women who are doing amazing things in their respective regions and communities.
This podcast celebrates the achievements, successes, and stories of our rural women, which are also the foundations for our organisation's rich history.
We want you to be part of our future story, so please join us by clicking on the link in the show notes, and we look forward to welcoming you into the fold.